Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Yo, evening. Yeah, I think we've got a... Well, this mic seems all right. I think we've got a little technical hitch.
Do you want to get your message heard?
Yeah.
With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can have you reach thousands of local people.
Yeah, I think...
Get your campaign on Sheffield Live.
Just feel our way through this. But mine seems to be coming through loud and clear. G?
Yeah, mine's quite low, but yeah.
Okay, just a little technical itch, but I'm sure we'll kind of like work our way through this one. Yeah, just another check, CV come through.
Yeah, testing, yeah, that's better, yeah.
Yeah, okay, we're here. Good evening, everybody. If you just kind of like tuned in, we just had a little technical hitch, but we're back on air. And not really going to waste any time, going to go into athletics. And talking about a former world kind of like champion, 26-year-old Mohamed Khatir, the world 500-meter silver medalist, has received a 4-year ban for tampering with his travel documents following a submitted during an investigation. So what happened to this guy? The 26-year-old Spaniard was suspended for 2 years by the Athletic Integrating Unit, the AIU, in February for missing 3 doping tests within 12 months. I think that's like, missing 3 doping sessions. I think definitely something's going on there. Something deliberately happened. So he's obviously dodged them for a reason, and dodging them has led to a 2-year ban. But during the investigation, the AIU discovered that on the date of one of those missed tests, which was dated 27th of February 2023, Khatir had altered his travel itinerary. His boarding pass was tampered with, and his booking confirmation, an attempt to mislead investigations who were looking into where he was on that particular day. A bit of a invisible man situation we've had here, guys.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point trying to dodge these things? You know it's mandatory, and you know it's whenever they call you. There's no appointment there really that says this is the date you're coming in. Now, if he's deliberate, miss it, he deserves what he gets. Obviously, he's got something to hide, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I don't even know what for such a doubt, not really. Because as far as me concerned, we all know the rules.
Yeah,
you know the rules. He's been doing that sport for how much years. So if nothing can call him when they want, he knows he's got to have his details, his papers, his documents, them all in the right order. And my man is doing skullduggery, and I try to do some
people.
Yeah, and I try to fit. Oh, if he get here, I ain't got nothing to say about that. My man's going on with some little follows business, innit?
And at the end of the day now, was it worth it? 2-year ban. When he comes back now, they're going to be strict on him even more. So, is it worth it?
I mean, it's kind of like he's dodged the authorities and stuff, and obviously paid the price for it.
Yeah.
You know, and then it goes on to say that the AIU Asfotetris' results from the 9th of March onwards to be disqualified, but that was rejected by the disciplinary tribunal because the timing of his whereabouts failure did not offer a competitive advantage which affected his results. You know, the head of the AIU, Brett Clothier, said the ruling underscored the seriousness of tampering. So, you know, basically saying that they're taking it really serious. And there's one person who's going to miss out on that. Silver medal gets taken away. And, you know, we're going to always kind of like hear these stories of people misusing and abusing substance misuse. And it's, do you know something? It's always like the same kind of old story. I don't know how that got in my system.
Yeah.
How many times have we heard that?
Yeah. I mean, I know there's certain medications that can give different readers and that, but if you're on the medication, you can prove that. But anything else, if you haven't got no proof to justify it in your system, then you've got no legs to stand on, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they have to be responsible for what goes inside their system. I mean, I can remember having a serious kind of debate, argument, with a well-known guy who kind of like works out well. And this was when the boxer, when Ben and Eubanks was due to be fighting and got postponed due to Ben misuse of drugs. He was saying that, you know, you're supposed to trust, you know, you've got
your
a team around you. Yeah.
He says
like you're supposed to trust them and that. Yeah. And I said, nah, I'm not kind of hearing that because, you know, you need to account for, in high level activities, high level sports, you've got to account for what goes in your system. You're the one who's responsible for that, whether you're a footballer, athlete, bodybuilder or whatever. Do you know what I mean? What you put into your mouth, what fluids you drink, it's down to you. You know what I mean? So, you know, if you're going to get tested on a regular basis or whatever, you've got to pay the price if you're misusing substances.
Well, for me, I don't have no sympathy. I don't have no sympathy for him at all, right? I repeat myself again. He's been doing this a long time. He knows the score. He knows how it works, right? So don't come with no foolishness about, I don't know how it got there. Unless him was a David Copperfield and like magician and no, nah.
It's kind of debatable, that's still the what you just said there, isn't it, Sweets? Because in a way, Ben has got a point, but when he said it, because you ain't the one who deals with the injections or them kind of medical things. If you go to your physician in the team and he says, well, this is what you need to take, what do you really do? I mean, are you going to start doing that yourself, making sure the right drugs are in and things? So it's kind of a hard line, isn't it, really? Because that's what they're there for.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, G, but, you know, for me, overall, you know, he's the one that's going to get tested. It's not going to be his doctor.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
You know, it's not going to be his trainer. It's not going to be his manager, his promoter. It's going to be him.
Yeah, as his trainer them get banned?
Yeah, but it's like said before, a doctor was done for drugging in athletics. He was giving certain athletes certain enhancing drugs. They didn't know, and they found out it was the doctor that was doing it.
But him running it. And you're talking about...
I can't remember his name, but he did that. So for me, what do you really do in that position? You're going to have to either go privately then to get these drugs taken, aren't they? That's what they're there for, your trainers, your physicians, and all those things. So what do you do?
I hear that, but again, like I've just said, they're putting this stuff in his body, right? But for me, it's not them who's getting the ban. I'm getting the ban.
It's that,
right? You know, you're not trying to get banned.
Nobody else gets the ban. So what's he doing in the situation then?
So was it Mo's Farah trainer you're talking about?
Could be that one. Yeah, yeah, well, yeah. That was him because Mo did catch it in it, and he said he'd never.
But him run in it.
Yeah, he chipped.
Runway.
So you knew where it come from then, ain't it? So it's a tricky one still because to me it's no different. You go to your doctor said, well, you need this, and he joke you with it and.
But, I mean, I'd be saying, well, what's in that?
You do, you ask that.
I'd be questioning that, me. I mean, I wouldn't let somebody just joke me like that.
And they explain it. You look it up after and you will see certain things that are in it that you want to normally take. But why is it a difficult one? It is a difficult one. To me, then you've got to go out of door and tell this fruition, this is what you need. And
I think some of the times, they just gamble.
It is a gamble.
And they're thinking that, oh, I'm not going to get tested or whatever. And sometimes there'll be kind of like inside information to say, oh, nobody take nothing in the car. Someone is going to get tested this weekend. You know, there'll be like inside information and stuff like that as well, because it's like you never really hear of the Liverpool players them, do you? Getting caught up in stuff like that. And then going on to the next guy is like Modric. I mean, he's potentially looking a 4-year ban, this guy. Do you know what I mean? Because he's also kind of like tested positive. I mean, the Ukraine, he signed from Shakhtar Donetsk in January last year, penned an 8.5-year deal contract. This is like when Chelsea are handing out all them big, massive contracts to players and stuff. So they've got a problem now with Modric, because he's signed a 4-year deal. And if he gets a 4-year ban, they've got a problem on their hands, haven't they?
Big problem.
You know what I mean?
Because they still have to pay him.
Well, they'll have to terminate his contract. And Modric will have to probably take him to court or something like that and get whatever ban he gets. If he does get a ban, he's looked to get it reduced to half of that. So he's probably looking maybe two on appeal. If he wins his appeal, you know what I mean? I mean, they bought him for 89 million quid. Yeah,
He's made something like 8 appearances this year.
Yeah, and missed the last 5 games. And people might say, yeah, so is Chelsea as well, because there were Adrian Mitchell as well. He got banned back in the days as well, some time ago. But there's quite a few.
So he's been caught with doping.
Well, he took this substance similar what this tennis player took. I'm not sure, it might have been Sharapova, and she got banned for a period of time. He took the same substance of what this tennis player took. Like I said, I'm sure it's Sharapova. So people will be saying on the outside, you know, looking in, well, he should get the max. He should get the max, you know. I mean, Modric always like kind of, he's always stated that he's innocent. He also claims that he knows what substance it actually was.
Well, for me, if he has been caught with doping and stuff like that, I don't think he's got a leg to stand on if they want to terminate his contract. Could that be written in the contract as well about doping, isn't it? So I can't see him taking them to court on that basis and trying to get anything, because I think then he could owe them the money in the end. Because they've paid out this money, how much millions for him, and if he's been caught doping and he can't play, they've lost that money, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's down to him. Yeah. So I can't see him taking them to court saying, oh, they've done this to me, whatever else. When it's him that's done it, they could take him and say, we want at least half the money back. Well, I would. You pay him all that kind of money out on somebody and he can't even kick a ball for you because he's been caught doping.
I mean, if the player's found guilty,
he ain't got a leg to stand on if he's found guilty.
Some bad will clause in the contract, and that bad will clause would be he's broken
his contract
unprofessional manner, then could constitute in gross misconduct, and therefore under those circumstances the club is entitled to rip up the contract and then seek some form of
compensation back.
100%.
We solved it for them already,
but not necessarily, because he hasn't been found guilty yet.
But that's what I'm saying, if he gets found guilty. If he's innocent, then it's all good, he can play on, can't he?
And then plus there'll be a window for the appeal to go in, you know, for his lawyers and the club. The club said that they're backing him and stuff like that, so they'll be fighting their corner, because it's 89 million quid's worth of investment. Now, I'm going to throw something in the mix with this one as well, because with him suspended now, and they threw kind of like Sterling out of the window, didn't they? You know, threw him under the bus.
Yeah.
So if Sterling was there now, you know what I mean? You know?
What, would he be playing? You're saying he'd be playing?
I reckon so. I reckon if he didn't have gone to Arsenal, I reckon he'd have been in the first team squad by now.
Are you saying that you mean they would have to play him? Because
But
right at the moment, because what I'm saying is, he ain't playing for Arsenal.
I know.
I'm just about to say. He didn't even play in the Mickey Mouse Cup, right? In fact, let me get my facts right. He played recently when Arsenal played this week, I think. They won 2-1 or something like that in the Mickey Mouse Cup, right? And he played, but he wasn't outstanding. He's rarely getting a game, Sterling.
Wow.
Rarely getting a game. For me, Sterling now, I think his time has done. For me.
Yeah, he may well do, but like we know that he's getting a big wad of
money.
I think Chelsea's paying some of that.
Yeah, I would have thought so. I'd have thought they're playing a big chunk of that. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I've not really seen him kind of like in that red shirt at Arsenal, to be honest with you. He might just kind of chip to Dubai, and you know.
Well, I suppose
to me, Yank, the choice by the sounds,
suppose
like, innit?
He could do, or he could go to MLS.
Yeah,
he could do.
Either way. It's probably not in no hurry to go anywhere.
Mm.
Big contract still.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean?
That's right.
So, you know, if Dubai's calling him, and he'll probably might say, you double that and I've gone. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So he's in a good position. Even though he's not playing, and a pro player will want to play, of course, and wants to be involved in, you know, in the match kind of like build up and stuff. A few kind of like stories of substance misuse. We started the show, so we got CV and G in the studio. Your guys might remember this one. Pogba's elder brother, Matthias Pogba, older brother of Paul Pogba, ex Man United player. Has been sentenced to a 3-year suspended sentence, extracting cash out of his brother with a load of other guys. The Manchester United midfielder, ex-Man United midfielder, I should say. Kind of like escaped prison. That's like Matthias we're talking about. It was eventually fined $16,500 and spared, you know, like behind bars. Five of the men was also found guilty of extortion and other crimes and received sentence between 4 and 8 years in Paris Thursday just gone.
So how did he escape? How did he escape prison then? Well, did the five them gone, then how did he escape?
Must have had a good lawyer. That's what I can say, because
he's got to have a seriously good lawyer then to escape. Yeah,
I mean, obviously the listeners can't see this, but there's a picture of Matthias Pogba arrives at court with a nice big grin on his face. So maybe he knows something what the other five guys didn't know. You know, like Jesus said, how has he escaped that?
Sentence they've all got there, isn't it?
100%. Very serious kind of like crimes it were. I mean, Paul Pogba actually paid him up. I think it was, he actually paid him $82,600. They wanted $1 million.
Was that each?
No, just probably like between them.
Between them.
And he managed to cough up 89 million.
His own brother did that to him.
Wow.
proper kind of like set up. You know,
a brother love, innit?
Yeah.
You know, it's called brother love, innit?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? When there's a whoop of money knocking about, you know, there's people who are going to be like kind of sharks, aren't they? You know, the former professional footballer, Matthijs Pogba, played for clubs including Partick Thistle. I never was aware of that. Wrexham, of all clubs, with a Hollywood wise there running that one. Crew Alexander, Crawley Town. And his last club was Belford in France. He left there just a couple of years ago. So, yeah, Paul Pogba, hopefully he'll put that behind him. And I'm not sure where he's going to be playing for next. Maybe in Italy. I can remember watching some kind of like documentary about Pogba, and they were saying... The guy, the interviewer, mentioned, you know, about Manchester United, and Pogba just laughed it off and said, yeah, you know, he said, you haven't got me on this one. He was kind of like chatting and stuff. So, yeah, but his brother is spared prison, but got a 3-year suspended. So if he's a naughty boy within them 3 years, they'll just grab him, yeah, and they'll throw away the keys.
Well.
On to a bit of basketball. The Lakers, LeBron James, surpassed 6-time NBA MVP Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most minutes played in the league history, adding another major record to his resume. So LeBron continues to bust records left, right and centre. Do you manage to watch any basketball, your guys, at all?
Not really.
I'm not really.
I can remember messing about playing that at school.
Yeah, that's as far as my career with basketball.
You know,
I played it at school.
It was fun. You know, it's kind of like I don't mind watching NBA. You know, I can settle in front of the box watching that with a hot chocolate, no problem at all. You know what I mean? I think it's kind of like interesting, very fast.
Yeah, it's a fast flowing game.
And when them boys are ready to do them kind of dunks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, they can fly. They can fly through the air. You know what I mean?
Yeah, coming like what? Like Concord. Isn't it? And then just fly through the air, bust some speed of light, innit?
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. So also James yeah, he said he didn't kind of like doesn't do much in the off season. A little bit more time now that he's got to himself. But you know, he's kind of like looking good for that. In addition of his records, 11,833 playoff minutes. James has played roughly 70,000 total minutes. The equivalent of 1,458 games since he entered the NBA out of high school as the number one back in 2003. So that's a bit for LeBron James there. Dele Alli is... he's on his way to Italy. Dele Alli says that he's ready for a new chapter now. He's cut his ties with Everton, and he wants to thank them for all that what he's done. Seb Fabregas is the head coach of Como, a team in Serie A playing their trade. I think they're probably about, I think they're about 16th in their division. So they're not top end, but Seb Fabregas has give Dele Alli a bit of a lifetime sort of like pass here. So, you know, it's a possibility that he could start training with them after Christmas. The Italian journalists reported on Monday that Dele Alli will begin training December the 26th, one day after Christmas. Dele has not played a competitive game since February 2023. So that was the last time Dele Alli actually kicks the ball. I'm surprised that some teams in the Championship
Took him up.
Yeah, middle of the table, because Dele Alli's been a free agent. He's still quite young. I think Dele Alli's he's 28, so he's still got a lot of kind of like playing time in him. I'm not saying top end, because that might be a little bit too demanding. They play top end of the Championship. They're playing like three games sometimes a week. Well, especially if you're top of the league like the Blades, but average it's two games. I don't think he'd be up for that, to be honest with you, but I'd have thought middle of the table.
It gives him a chance still, doesn't it? Yeah, it's a lifeline, you know, for him at the end of the day.
100%.
Yeah, so he might as well take it and go and see what happens. Might end up finishing his career there, but he's got a chance, that's it.
Well, he's not doing anything now, is he?
Exactly.
So you might as well go in and do something, innit?
Sheffield United, the takeover. It's imminent. That means it's going to happen. It needs to happen in time for the January sale. That's when clubs are allowed to get players on loan or make certain transfers. You know, if there's any free agents, they can sign any time. You know, they generally go to a club on trial. And if they're successful, probably the club may be giving them about 6 weeks or something. But Steve Ronson, the American, he's hoping to secure the reins down at Bramall Lane. I mean, what I heard on the grapevine was that the Prince was kind of like holding out, basically that if United went up, he'd want an extra percentage as a little bonus. You know what I mean? So
what's going on with foolishness?
It's crazy.
What's going on with
it's
foolishness?
You sell, but that's what money does.
Yeah, but you sell the team as it is. You can't hang in there and say, well, it depends. If they go up, I want a little more. What if they go down? Is it going to take a little less?
Well, do you know what? I mean, if I was involved in that takeover, I'd be saying, what you want, if they don't get automatic promotion, that's what we want knocking off that
yeah.
day. Do you know what I mean? And then it's probably up to him to say yes or no, or you know, or they'll probably resume kind of like discussions for another day. Do you know what I mean? But this takeover situation has been going on from time.
Far
it's
too
crazy.
Long, man. Yeah. If you're selling something, you sell it as it is, and that's it.
True up business, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't say it's true up business.
Look, imagine if it was a like pair
that.
Of shoes or
that's
something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You
know
what I mean? And you go in that shop and say, oh, if my foot them fit in it, then me will buy. But if my foot not fit in it, then me not buy him. And all them kind of foolishness. Oh, man. I be a foolishness, that
no,
man.
What's going on with foolishness?
Yeah, my friend.
I'm surprised the Americans actually holding out, actually.
Yeah.
Because it was me, I says, you know what?
Me gone.
Yeah.
They're onto a good thing, really, isn't it? I mean, it's a toy, isn't it? The Americans are buying up
everything.
Buying up everything.
Because they've got everything now. Yeah, Everton, they didn't buy up Everton, no.
They're everywhere, you know what I mean? Yeah. But, you know, I think one thing what we haven't heard for a long time with a potential buyer at Sheffield United, they're saying that there'd be millions of pounds available if the deal goes through. So just watch for that kind of like space, really. And I've got one for the road as well, really. And this is before the January transfer window. My kind of people, them, I said that Ben Brereton-Diaz, the deal is over the line. And we're not even, the window's not even open up. So just remember where you heard that first. I'll say it again. Ben Berrington Diaz, the deal is over the line already.
Diaz? Did he play for you before?
Yeah, he was
on loan
from Villarreal. But Southampton snapped him up for seven mil.
Right.
But he's not really featured.
Yeah, he's not playing because he used to play, he was licking in goal for Blackburn, weren't he? Yeah,
Chilean.
Well, he's not really, but in Carling,
he plays for them.
Yeah, because he's from his appearance, isn't it? But he was born Yasso.
Yeah.
But he plays for them because he did all in changing name for coming like a Sanchez. You know, all them people there.
So we'll just watch for that one. Like I said, the takeover is imminent, you know? Hey, do you know something? Did you hear that about the 100 Wednesday fans that went to see Santa's Grotto?
What? Yeah? What, Philuka Present?
And one of them, right, you can't tell anybody this, yeah?
What?
So whatever I say stops in this room. You
all right,
go on. So Captain was one of them. Captain Moore.
Stop it. Yeah. Stop your foolish talk.
Listen, Captain.
Stop it. Stop it right now.
Captain Moore, right, went to Santa's Grotto.
No.
Right?
No.
No, I foolish.
And he sneaked in. And Santa looked upon him. You know that look what your parents give you when you're a picnic?
Yeah, go on.
Santa gave him one of them look.
They like cross-eyed look. Like. Yeah, go on.
And he said, "Are you all right?" And Captain said, "No, I'm not." He said, "What's up?" He said, "It's Christmas soon, right? I can get you anything you want." So he says, "What do you want for Christmas?" So he said, "I want an elf." So Santa said, what did you say? Can you say that again? So Captain said, "I want an elf." He says, "You're going to have to talk up, you know."
Yeah.
He says, "Well, I don't want them man to hear me." He says, "Which guy is he talking about?" He says, them guys on Sweet Talking Sport, they're horrible to me.
Yeah? God!
Yeah.
No, man, you're affecting
so,
no, too far.
So, Santa said, hold on. Santa said, "Tell me what you want for Christmas, and I'll get you anything you want." So Captain said, "I want an elf." So Santa said, "Listen, a Christmas, you know, big Christmas, I can get you anything. Be more realistic. What do you want for Christmas?" He says, "All right, I want Wednesday to finish in the top six." So Santa said, "What colour elf do you want?"
Lord of mercy!
Yes! I saw him say, yeah. So, nobody said nothing to nobody, no.
That's a hard one to keep, you know. Can't leave this room.
That's a hard one to keep to myself.
Tell him, can't get the points, them. Tell him, say, I go wrong, go carry him one little green elf. Oh, well, a Santa helper.
You learn something new every day.
Lord of easy, mercy.
Captain. Easy. Time with the boss.
Hey, can you remember when we spoke about darts? Was it a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's this kind of like condition, you know, what this dart player's got, and it's kind of a bit sad, this really. They call it dartitis. Dartitis, yeah? And so it's like, basically what it is if you can imagine, like, you're flinging an arrow, yeah? But the dart doesn't leave your hand. And it's like, it's a serious kind of like condition, yeah? And they're saying that the only way, the only kind of help really what's out there is CBT, behavioral therapist. And they say it's like a psychologist kind of like input in it. There's an ex-dart player called Kevin Painter. He's got that. So they're saying that how that can help. I mean, like I said, the listeners can't see this, but I'm just going to kind of play something for Una Man in here. And I think this is kind of like video. It's not happening, this one, but there's a video online where a dart player will kind of like be looking to kind of like throw his arrow, but the darts don't actually leave his hand.
So his fingers aren't opening or something to let go of the dart.
Yeah, it's just
he's
like
a lock arm on it.
Yeah, it's just like
so it's like he's lost his feelings or something.
Yeah, it's kind of they say it's kind of like all kind of like in the mind. So yeah, I'm trying to kind of like play this in here. Like I said, you know, sorry, kind of like listeners, you can't see this. But yeah, the condition, these players at all different levels struggle. Like I said, it's a psychology thing. And it plays, I've suffered from this at the highest level. You know, even like kind of woman star, Greaves, Kevin Painter and Mark Webster have also been on the end of the condition, while one of the most highly profile episodes affected Barry Van Peer. During this 2017 Grand Slam of darts, the Dutchman was left unable to throw his darts in a match against Gary Anderson. I didn't actually see that, but if you go on kind of like YouTube and stuff,
you'll find it.
Yeah, you can find it. And the recovery for this can be a long haul. Getting over the arthritis was mostly just kind of like practicing. So you could be kind of like stood at the hockey for ages, and it's like using a kind of like thought process, using CBT and the help of, you know, psychologists, help of therapists to get you through this. And instead of like, you know, breathing as well will kind of calm you down, give you a little bit of confidence, but practice, you know, probably, you know, these dart players will probably spend hours, you know,
hours
at the hockey, just trying to get over that. Yeah,
it's like anything else, isn't it? 100%. But I suppose once that kicks in your head, he's going to be conscious about it all the time. So,
well, I mean, you know, if you kind of imagine being at that hockey and you just kind of freeze up, you know what I mean? You can't really do anything. You know what I mean? Really sad.
Never heard of that.
Really
actually.
Sad. That died up.
Yeah, trust me, I hear about it.
Yeah. Yes, kind of. Yes, you know, I mean, you know, if there's anybody out there, you know, don't suffer in silence. You know, seek help, seek your therapist. Go at your doctor, go at your GP.
Yeah, that's what they're there for.
You know, speak to your brethren. You know, I mean,
you know, first we did it, I think I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, it's kind of like like I said, there is a clip on YouTube where I've seen it. And it's like, sometimes you think, you know, is this person taking a mickey or something? But it is a serious
problem. Well, if it wasn't on the screen in the front of me now, I would have thought you was taking a Michael, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have definitely thought that, but seeing it there.
But you wouldn't wish darititis upon anybody, you know what I mean? You know? I mean, you know, it's like if I was still playing, I mean, well, imagine if you were just kind of like in a pub or club or darts team or something, and one of your brethren had that, you know, what kind of help do you think CV you kind of offer him?
Yeah. I don't really know. He would have to get some buddy if you talk to him, innit? And maybe, you know, them man there who can just paralyze up your brain, like, and then fix up something and tell you, say, yo, you're a dangerous start player now. And then him just start.
Yeah. I've, like I said, for those who can't see this, you'll have to go on YouTube and Google it. But I'm just kind of like playing something for the guys in here.
Yeah.
And it's, as you can see, it's like a kind of mental block. You know, it's almost like, say, the dart kind of glued to him and in it, you know what I mean? And
he yeah, he's really look, you can see he's kind of struggling. Yeah, you can see in yeah, his yeah, face, he's kind of struggling, like,
to focus and letting it go, yeah.
You know, and probably he's going to get kind of vexed with himself as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You put more pressure on yourself, got to.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, but, you know, we... Yeah.
So it's not about the dart can't live down. It's for you to get your head round to throw the dart, to let go of the dart, really, isn't it?
And then they kind of like, you know, they switch from the right, if he's a right-handed thrower, you know, or left-handed thrower, vice versa.
And then you try and do the arm to, you know, see if he can get round
it. It looked like he was being able to do it with his left hand.
Yeah, but it's not going to be kind of accurate.
No,
is
no,
it?
No.
Because
no,
he was
no.
just going to pick up that dart yeah. when he threw it. Missed the board completely.
And I suppose if you're kind of right-handed and you've gone to your left, you're probably just going to focus on just licking the dart board at first.
You're not
going to put pressure on yourself to think...
No.
180.
Yeah, them style.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No.
You know what I mean?
No. You'll be lucky if you double up, innit?
Yeah, 100%. Or even bully. You know, hit the bullseye. Yeah.
It's a right way to throw a match as well, innit?
100%, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you think about it, Dog Titus just kicks in, or you say it, kick in, and throw
a
match from the days and things like that, innit?
Imagine if that was a footballer.
Who can't kick the ball?
And it's like you're taking a penalty or something like that. And you've got like 30, 40, 50,000 fans there saying, come on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You place the ball and you get that mental.
If you tell them, say, yo, I'm a fella, tell Tantos or what?
Or even a boxer or something like that.
Yeah.
Boxer's going to get licked down, innit?
A snooker player, innit?
Or he's free to
You know, like if I try to...
He's just doing the cue action all the time, but in that leg of the cue.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, you know what I mean? Like if you're...
Sad,
man. Sad things are going on here, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, onto some kind of...
You can see causing friction as well, isn't it, between the players and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Looking at some of the ones I'm looking at here, you can see another player getting vexed. These two of them, look on them, because my man couldn't throw the dart.
Yeah. I mean, every weight champion's getting licked down if you can't...
Yeah, that's right.
Can't get that right going in that, you know?
That's right, because if you try to double up and... Double theme fist now and try to let it go. He's like, so in it.
Oh, look on there. Yeah, okay. you can see this thing causing some serious friction, man, when you are clear.
Okay, let's get into some Premiership kind of predictions and stuff. Tomorrow, early kickoff for Aston Villa against Man City. I think Villa have got Mr. Bailey coming back on the scene. Well, it's going to be 7th v 5th. Who would have thought would have been saying that this time of the season? We're used to kind of seeing City in the top three. So, you know, is this kind of like something what the fans are going to have to get used to for the time being? Or are City going to come out of this through hook or crook? You know, well... To say that, I say, you know, by Christmas time you can determine, pre-predict where a team's going to finish up. It's dark times for City, but let's not forget, what they've done in the past and what they're capable of. And who knows, tomorrow maybe... a turning point for them where something just click and they might turn the corner. But you know, Aston Villa have got some decent players here, but City's kind of like record against Villa is not bad, but I think that goes out the window for me tomorrow.
Listen, at the moment, the way Man City seems to be playing, I think any team that plays them now, they're going in there with confidence, full confidence.
I agree to
pull something off.
100%.
You know what I mean? I have no idea what's going on with Man City at the moment. They're going through a bad run. It's no different to where you're going through a good run and you're winning how many things.
Pep's got manager-itis or something.
You know, some-itis are coming at it, innit?
Yeah.
But
When I finish,
is there a season where they don't seem to be doing anything?
That's right.
That don't mean to say them now come back anything.
I don't have,
like I said,
listen,
I think any team that goes in and plays them now, they're going in there with confidence.
I don't have nothing else to say.
No, we're not looking for contention.
I don't have already showed on a man there already.
Let me just say, because, we're not causing no contention. Just
because
cool.
Any man who wants to step up in my...
You know, you hear what me say, is it?
Well, let me just tell you, sir, any man who want come and contest.
Order, come on. You know? Come on, ease up.
Any man who want come and contest, look a contention with me.
Let me
just put them in a them place, innit? Because at the end of the day...
I mean, it was round one in here last week, innit?
Is it? Well, who did
not, not last week, week before, innit?
Why?
With the Arsenal man, the Arsenal and City kind of was it Loggerheads?
Yeah, but it wasn't really a round.
I didn't know which way to turn. G were giving some signal to all that guy and
you know what I mean?
Because
it was called friendly banter. That's what it was called. But if we're talking about Femi team now, listen.
Yeah, I know.
If City, you know, like our last week, me did think, sir, it was an early Christmas because we are give a goal like, say, we are give a present. No,
but
seriously.
That's what the child doing. It's a present when they're giving away goals to the teams, innit?
When I sit down there, right, last week, and I was there, and I'm thinking to myself, why? 1-0 up, 87th minute. The little Mickey Mouse team, the way we are playing, they're not doing nothing. They're not looking like scoring goal. And then all of a sudden, no.
Boop.
We're coming like Father Christmas. And I hand out present for them and give them one penalty. And then the second one was the most embarrassing one because Edison did his normal business. I rush out like, say, my Superman. Ball bounce over him head. Next guy come now. He didn't even mean to kick it that way. And it rolls into the back of the net. That, to me, is what you call early Christmas present.
Who's their reserve keeper? Phil. Cities.
Ortega.
Who do you prefer at the moment?
Well, you should know the answer already because I've said it many a times before. I've said it already. For me, Ortega is more the stable one, right? He just does what he has to do, which is to be a goalkeeper. Edison sometimes thinks he's my left back, right? He thinks he's a left back. I'm playing. Now, don't get me wrong. He can deliver the ball, but sometimes he's erratic. He'll do stupid things and come running out of the goal and all them kind of foolishness. Nah, you don't need that. You just don't need that. And last week was disgusting. They should have never won that game. Never have won that game. They're a poor side, but that just shows you what Man City are doing right now at the moment.
So what do you think is happening with the team that they're playing so bad?
Right. No, for me, right, I think the confidence has gone. I think the confidence has gone for me, right, because, right, I've said before, if you're going for the title, you have got to have what I call a sturdy back four. Right, a back four what's in there week in, week out. It don't, you're not changing nothing, right? But we've never had a steady back four every week. If it's not Akanji with Aki, it's Ruben with Stones, it's Walker Stone. This is always changing all the time. So to me, it's not steady. And so that's where we're struggling. Defence is where we're struggling. And
that so that's where you think most of the problem
is. And that's where the department was quite strong. But like I said, many people are saying to me, the wheels have come off and the bandwagon. Well, that's fine. Because at the end of the day, we don't need to win this Premier League. It's important for other teams such as Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea,
for them to
win the league. Because at the ending of the day, right, who's been winning the league? For the past, to the last seven seasons, Man City's won it six. So at the end of the day, to me, it's not as important for us to win it.
But let me throw something in. I mean, they wouldn't want to just like
give it up.
Yes.
Well, no, I'm not saying like. Well, with all due respect, no team's going to give it up. But what I'm saying is, I'm looking at the importance of it. It's not as important for us to win it. We've won it four times in a row.
I don't know about that. I don't think you could say that to a pro, and I certainly don't think they're going to be the corridors of discussion in the corridors of Man City.
Right, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay,
they still got to be professional. You still got to have that mentality.
The professional, got to have that attitude. The professional now, but what I'm saying is, it's not as important. It's for me.
But what they're playing for then, really, at the end of the day? What they're playing for?
Right now?
Yeah. What they're playing for?
Well, what they're playing for now, they're playing for points. For me, I would say the only thing that they could play for now is to try to get themselves back into Europe, in a European position, because there's no way they're going to win the league.
They're obviously trying to fix things.
They're not going to win the league.
They're obviously trying to fix things, but there's a lot of issues going off. I mean, you can't really put your finger on one. There's the background noise about, you know, the points deduction and stuff like that. There's the issue with Pep, the England kind of situation. Mentally, that might have took something out of him, mentally.
What, going to be manager of England?
No. He's had discussions with England, right?
Right.
So don't forget, it took, a couple of months for him to decide that the job's not for him. Mentally, that's going to do something to him. Do you know what I mean? Because he might be thinking, do you know what? Should I have accepted the England job? Or should I have gone here? Should I have gone there? I'm telling you, any human being that's going to affect it. It's like, say, if another employer wants to headhunt you or something like that, and you decide to stop where you are.
Right.
Some days are going to think,
should I have gone?
Okay. It's just human nature to think that kind of way.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Or if somebody wants to headhunt me or whatever, do you know what I mean? I'd be thinking, I might take my time. I'm looking at the pros. I'm looking at the cons. I'm looking at the benefits. Do you know what I mean? Does it tick that box? Do you know what I mean? Am I going to be better off? Do you know what I mean? And stuff like
obviously
that.
It obviously didn't tick the boxes, did it?
Not necessarily.
How do you mean?
It could have been family discussions or whatever. Bear that in mind. I wouldn't say 100% it obviously didn't tick the box. I wouldn't write that off because of what's out there, what's going off. There's been a lot going off for him at the moment, not just for him but for Man City. What's going to happen? Are they going to be in the Premiership next season? Mentally, that's going to affect players as well. But the fans, I think the average fans, I don't think they go as deep as we when we start chatting about stuff like this.
All I can say is talk as a Man City fan of over 40 odd years.
Yeah,
and for me...
No, but I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I think the average fan don't go as deep as
they probably don't, but
what we've just said now.
They probably don't, but all I'm saying is that... I hear from different fans saying, oh, the wheels have come off and all that kind of thing. And you're not going to win the league. Well, no, we're not going to win the league. But it's not the ending of the world for Manchester City. Manchester City have dominated it for the past 13 years. So if we don't win it this year, right?
Is it going to
mash the club up? No, it's not going to mash the club up, right? But if Liverpool... Arsenal, especially if they're in the positions, in what I call winning positions, and they don't win it, then it doesn't look good. I mean, Liverpool's only won it once.
Yeah, but I mean, there's still a long way to go, you know what I mean, for this season. Look. I mean, like, you know, a team can have a bad run and stuff like that.
And that's all it is.
You only need, say, three consecutive wins in a row. That's 9 points.
Yeah, but...
Do you know what I mean?
But the wheels have come off at City, haven't they?
Right, I've not said that.
No, man.
You know what I mean? All I'm saying is that there's a lot going off, yeah? And it's like, psychologically, you can only take so much, really. And then this is like sometimes people take on too much and they have a mental breakdown and stuff, or injury or psychological stuff. With a lot going off for City, for their players, the people who are connected to them, you know, I'm not surprised the kind of season what they're having at the moment. Do you know what I mean? But there's still a long way to go. Anyway, we need a prediction. We need a score or something like that. Villa against Man City, 12:30 kickoff tomorrow. Who's going to win this one?
I would say City's going to win 2-1.
I'm thinking 1-0.
I'll go for a home win, me, to be honest with you.
Who's at home?
Villa. Villa, okay. Villa at home. I just think that they'll just take advantage of the situation. I can't see Villa getting turned over tomorrow.
That's so why I'm thinking it's going to be a draw.
I'll go for a home win.
Okay.
We'll see.
So on to Palace against Arsenal. So we're talking 15th against 13th. So Palace, quite kind of like...
They're a hit
like
or miss
it,
team.
Yeah.
They're a hit or miss.
I definitely agree with that.
They're a hit or miss because, I mean, the other week, the other day, they won, didn't they? You wouldn't expect them to win that. I mean, Arsenal last week, you'd have expected, you'd have banked your money on that Arsenal to beat Everton last week.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
0-0, it ended up. They struggled to beat Everton last week, right? So, for me, it's going to be... It could be, and where is it at? Is it at Crystal Palace?
Yes.
So it's even an harder issue, really. To be fair, Palace are not that bad at home. We played them the other week, and they ended up drawing with us 2-2. So
you see, I mean, we've just talked about like psychological effects as well, and it's like Arsenal see. You know, their fans will see this as a massive opportunity this season. But even they're kind of like feeling the pressure. They're dropping points.
Of course they're dropping
as well.
Points.
So this is what I'm saying. There's a mass and things going off.
And the team what's at the top, they're dropping points. They dropped points last week to Fulham. They dropped points the other week to Newcastle. It is what it is, isn't it?
So, a prediction for the Palace and the Arsenal game?
I'm going to say that Crystal Palace could get a win, a 1-0 win, or maybe a 2-1 win.
I think Arsenal will keep this one tight, really, and I'd expect them to kind of open up in the second half.
Exactly.
They won't want to concede, but... Palace, it's the right tight-knit kind of...
Like I say, it's a hit-and-miss team. And
I'm going to take a chance on Arsenal winning 2-1.
Well, they should do. They should win,
but they've got no divine right to win. You know
they should
what I mean?
Do. Like you know? I said last week, they should have beat Everton at home as well. So
we'll see there.
Yeah, I mean, for me... I think Arsenal will kind of just see this one over the line, maybe 2-1, but it won't be a given. Palace got nothing to.
It should be a good game. That's what we're saying, really. Yeah. It should be a fight to the end.
Yeah, I think Arsenal will just tip that.
Just pull it off.
You know, like when last season they were winning in the last minute and
that's
all that
right.
kind
they
of
were.
Business.
They were.
I think it'd be something, some kind of like situation like that one really for them.
Blades and Cardiff.
There's one thing we haven't talked about, and time's running out. Who do you think's going to win the boxing tomorrow? Is it tomorrow?
Yeah, it is tomorrow. Yeah, yeah. But Usyk and Fury.
And
yeah,
Fury.
It is tomorrow. But let me just go quick in a Blades. Right, I feel like Blades are away. Cardiff are I don't know another one of them funny team there. But really, Sheffield United should win that. So I'm looking another 2-1 down there.
Well, I'm rooting Sheffield United either way, so.
Yeah, top of the league.
Simple as that.
You know, against 20th.
We've got 2-1.
First place, Cardiff. I think Blades should be all right, top end of the pitch.
I'll go for a 2-1 win.
And then
against them, and then
you've got theme team there, innit? Captain team there. They're playing. Who they're playing?
Wednesday entertainment. Stoke.
That's right. Well, hopefully Stoke will lick one or two goal in there, and we just bust out two laughing pandemic at the ending.
Yeah, I think Wednesday fans will be kind of like glad that they've still got their manager in place for the time being.
That's true.
And you know, I think I can see him getting a home win tomorrow.
They could do.
Wednesday tomorrow, then we'll go with that.
And we want you sick win tomorrow.